We are the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short.
Hello, and welcome to the Papers podcast series for the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. I'm Mark Tebbs, and I'm a freelance consultant. In this series, we speak to the authors of papers published in one of ACAM's three journals. These are the Journal of Child Psychology and Psychiatry, commonly known as JCPP, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health, known as CAM, and JCPP Advances. If you're a fan of one of our papers podcast series, please subscribe on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know how we did with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues. Today, I'm delighted to be interviewing Dr. Vicky Powell, who's the first author of a paper entitled Following the Children of Depressed Parents from Childhood to Adult Life, a focus on mood and anxiety disorders. Vicky is a research associate based at the Wolfson Centre for Young People's Mental Health at Cardiff University. Vicky's research field is developmental psychology, and her work focuses broadly on youth depression. Vicky, thank you for joining me. Really looking forward to our conversation today.
Me too. Thank you very much for having me.
So let's start with some introductions. Could you tell us a little bit about who you are and maybe a little bit about your career today?
So I am a postdoctoral research associate based at the Wolfson Centre for Young People's Mental Health, as you just mentioned. And my work broadly focuses on depression in young people using a developmental approach, so looking across ages and life stages. My PhD focused on investigating the link between ADHD and depression, so looking at factors that might explain the increased risk of depression that's observed in young people with ADHD. And currently I work on a project called the SWAL study, and this is a clinical trial looking at whether a CBT, so cognitive behavioral therapy based intervention, can prevent depression in young people who are at an increased risk of depression through having a parent with a history of depression.
Thank you for that introduction. Could we turn to the paper? Just a brief overview of the paper.
Yeah, sure. So, like to the clinical trial I just mentioned, the study population for this paper was the offspring of depressed parents. So, to give you some background on this, we know that the risk of psychiatric disorder, especially mood and anxiety disorder, is increased in young people who have a depressed parent. And we also know in the general population that the transition period from adolescence to adulthood is a key risk period for the emergence of psychiatric disorders, and a time where there are lots of changes happening socially. So, for example, going from school to university or work. However, there are a few studies looking at this risk period in the offspring of depressed parents that track them over this time period using multiple assessment time points. So our aim was to look at the prevalence and course of mood and anxiety disorders in the offspring of depressed parents from childhood all the way through to adulthood, including that transition period, and looking at things like age of onset of these disorders, recurrence and comorbidity with other disorders, and to also have a look at the social outcomes for these young people in their early adulthood as well.
Right. I'm just wondering, were there any particular gaps in the research field that you were hoping that this kind of work was going to address? I'm just wondering about sort of taking us back to that original research questions and what shaped your motivation for the work.
There are, as I mentioned, sort of relatively few studies that have looked at this transition from adolescence to adulthood in the offspring of depressed parents. The notable exception are the offspring study led by Weissman and colleagues over in the US, which followed the offspring of depressed parents recruited back in the 80s. We know that the prevalence of mood and anxiety disorder has been increasing in recent decades, and so there is a need to investigate outcomes in the offspring of depressed parents in a more modern cohort who were recruited and followed concurrently with these increases. So the study sample used for this paper is a cohort of depressed parents who were recruited in the early noughties. So they were followed from 2007 all the way through to 2020. And there are also subtle differences in the ways we collected the data compared to previous studies of the offspring of depressed parents. So we followed the offspring and their parents over four prospective assessment time points spread over 13 years. And at each of these four time points where we assessed them, we looked at current disorders. So we've assessed kind of current disorder prevalence, which is slightly different to other studies that have looked at lifetime prevalence of disorder, so ever having had these disorders over a longer time period. So there are advantages to looking at both, of course, but in this study, we looked at current prevalence. And the advantage of this is that you can look in detail at the course of these disorders over time and how it changes over time as well.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the cohort and how the study was conducted?
The cohort A mentioned just now that we use for this paper is called the Early Prediction of Adolescent Depression Study, or the EPAD study. And this is based at Cardiff University. And as far as we're aware, it's the largest longitudinal study of the offspring of parents with major depression. And it started back in 2007 with 337 parents who had experienced recurrent depression and their offspring who were aged between 9 and 17 years old. And we followed them over 4 assessments time points, and these consisted of questionnaires and interviews for the offspring and their parent, and this spanned 13 years in total. And for this paper, we restructured the data. So even though the data was collected in these 4 time points that I've talked about, we looked at data by age in years. So looked at the prevalence of disorders by age in years rather than by assessment time points, to allow us to look at prevalence by developmental stage. So we looked at childhood, so age 9 to 11, early adolescence, which is age 12 to 14, late adolescence, aged 15 to 17, transition to adulthood, this important period that we wanted to focus on, which is age 18 to 22, and then the mid to late 20s, so age 23 to 28. And we sort of accounted for this change in the data structure in our analyses. So we did something called clustering. So we clustered our analyses on participant ID to account for offspring who may have been included in the same age group more than once. And this is because we collected the data not sort of with everybody being the same age at the start, but there was a range of ages. So you could have a scenario where a child is included in the childhood group because they were still a child at wave 1 and wave 2, for example. So we made sure to account for that.
And what were the key findings from the paper? Were there any things that maybe surprised you or stood out?
Yeah, so the key findings really were that, so as we'd expect from the previous literature, we see a really high rate of mood and anxiety disorders in the offspring of depressed parents. So 25% met diagnostic criteria for a mood disorder at least once during the course of the study, and 33% met diagnostic criteria for an anxiety disorder at least once during the study. But what we also found was that comorbidity, so having another disorder concurrently at the same time as the mood and anxiety disorder, was really common in this group. So around 70% of those with a mood disorder experienced another disorder at the same time. And of those with an anxiety disorder, around 60% of those experienced another disorder at the same time. The age at first diagnosis of the mood and anxiety disorders was really varied, including some very early ages at first diagnosis being observed. So for example, the youngest age at first diagnosis we observed for major depression was just 10 years old, which is much younger than we would, you know, expect to see normally in the general population. And even though the offspring in the study was still quite young at the final assessment point, so aged 18 to 28 at the final assessment wave, 7% of the young people had already experienced more than one depressive episode across the study period, and 13% had experienced anxiety disorder more than once as well. Another key finding was that this transition period from adolescence to adulthood was a key risk period for mood and anxiety disorders, particularly in males. So while mood and anxiety disorder started to increase in prevalence in the female offspring during adolescence, this rise in prevalence was not observed in the male offspring until a little bit later at the transition to adulthood. And even though, as we know, sort of from previous literature from the general population, that there's typically a female preponderance of depression from puberty onwards, which we did see here, when we got to early adulthood, the prevalence of mood and anxiety disorders in males seemed to be similar to females, if not even a little higher. But of course, I'm just describing patterns here. We didn't really have the power to statistically test these gender differences within this paper. And though the transition period stood out as a period when prevalence was very high, it's important to note that the risk period was really very prolonged in these offspring. So we were seeing offspring meeting criteria for these disorders from childhood all the way through to adulthood. So at all of the age groups we looked at, the prevalence for these offspring of mood and anxiety disorders was higher than what has been reported in the same age groups in the general population.
So what are the potential implications of those findings?
So firstly, these findings build on previous findings highlighting the offspring of depressed parents as a group at elevated risk for mood and anxiety disorders. And it also aligns with recommendations by the World Health Organization and others highlighting the offspring of depressed parents as an important group for prevention and early intervention programs. What this research adds is that such interventions may need to be considered or delivered over prolonged periods and the need for prolonged vigilance in this group. And it also highlights the importance of considering family history of depression clinically when young people are transitioning into adulthood, particularly perhaps in males.
You mentioned there about the importance of early intervention and prevention. Are there any trials or studies that are looking at the best way to do this?
Yes, so there have been various studies looking into this, and one study that's shown particular promise in terms of prevention of depression in young people is a randomized controlled trial by Garber and colleagues in the US, who tested the effectiveness of a group CBT intervention for preventing depression in young people at increased risk due to having a parent with a history of depression. And they found that this intervention was effective in preventing depression episodes in these young people. But there was a caveat that if the parent was currently depressed at the start of the study, in this scenario, the intervention didn't seem to be effective for these young people. So that brings me really onto what I'm working on now. So I'm working as part of a team based at the Wolfson Centre at Cardiff University, who are running a clinical trial called the SWAL study that I mentioned earlier, or the Skills for Adolescent Wellbeing study. And this is a randomised controlled trial testing whether an updated version of this group CBT programme trialled in the US by Garber and colleagues is effective in preventing depression in young people with a parent with a history of depression. And it also incorporates a parent depression treatment phase at the start of the study, where essentially we're trying to get the parent into the best place we can do at the beginning of the study before the young people receive the group CBT. And we hope that this will address this issue that Garber and colleagues found, whereby the intervention was effective at preventing depression in young people, but not for those young people whose parent was currently depressed at the start of the study.
From my understanding, the Garber trial was face-to-face. Does your study replicate that?
No, so we're going to be conducting them online, actually, so via sort of video call. So the intervention that we've developed is replicating Garber's work, but what we've done is we've sort of updated it to fit with a modern UK NHS context. So the sessions have been streamlined and shortened, so the intervention is shorter overall, and also it will be delivered over a video call with the other young people and the therapist as well. So what we're hoping really is that if we do find it to be effective at preventing depression in these young people, that hopefully we will be able to roll out this intervention across the UK, perhaps in future.
That sounds really interesting, the work you're doing in the trial. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, of course. So the SWAL study is, as I said, a randomized control trial. And we're aiming to test whether this group CBT intervention that teaches skills for well-being can prevent depression happening in young people or reduce depression symptoms in young people who have a parent with a history of depression. So we've actually very recently opened for recruitment, which is very exciting. So we're looking for parents with a history of depression and a child aged 13 to 17 years old to take part in this study. I suppose to give you a kind of overview of what this study involves. First, for those parents and young people who are eligible to take part, we will screen the parents to see what their depression symptoms are like at the moment. And if we find that they are currently depressed, they will go into this 12-week long depression treatment phase I mentioned earlier, where they'll meet with one of our trial psychiatrists for consultation, and they might recommend various things, including lifestyle changes, completing some internet CBT, also recommending some medication changes if needed to their GP. And then once this 12-week treatment is completed, or straight away if the parent isn't currently depressed, the young person will be randomly assigned, like the toss of a coin, so 50-50, to either receive this group CBT program or to continue with any treatment they'd usually receive. So all young people and their parents who participate in the study will be asked to complete some kind of questionnaires and interviews at the start of the study, 3 months into the study and 9 months into the study, which will allow us to test whether this group CBT program that teaches skills wellbeing works in preventing depression, and if so, how it might work.
So where could people find out more?
So if you want to find out more about the trial, or you're interested in taking part, or know somebody else who might be interested, please do visit our website for more information. So the link for that is bit.ly/swell. So that's SWELL. and we're due to be open for recruitment until late 2024 to kind of very early 2025.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. For more details on Dr. Vicky Powell, please visit the ACAM website, www.acam.org, and Twitter at ACAM. ACAM is spelled A-C-A-M-H. And don't forget to follow us on your preferred streaming platform. Let us know if you enjoy the podcast with a rating review, and do share with friends and colleagues.